How many of you guys like to go camping? Anybody? Any campers? Campers in the house? You've never been camping? We need to call your parents right now and be like, yo, you gotta go camping. What's your favorite camping experience? Quick review.
One trip we went, and we call this trip Camping in Coasters, where we went to campgrounds and went to roller coaster parks all over.
Awesome. That's pretty sweet. How about you?
I got a concussion while camping.
All right, a concussion. How'd you do it?
I was riding a bike in the dark at like midnight.
Oh.
There was like these little wooden posts everywhere. Hmm. And I ran into one of those and I fell on my head, and the back of my bike broke in half and hit me in the back.
Sweet. All right. That's a crazy, crazy I survived it type story. Ana Paula?
I was camping with like 50 people once, and we decided to play baseball with the grapefruit.
All right.
And then we played with really oranges, and then we played with lemons.
All right.
Running out of fruit.
Awesome. Oh, boot camp. All right. Cool. That's tough. Boot camp's tough. How many of you guys have some like disaster stories like hers? Any disaster stories from camping? Any craziness like occur?
When we went camping, because it's me, it was just a group of
somebody got hit in the face with a grapefruit, huh?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, that happened like it was.
That was later.
Yeah.
Okay.
We decided to have a little bit of a pranking war.
Uh oh.
So we went and we stuck a chicken in one of the tents.
So you put a chicken in somebody's tent.
In somebody's tent.
That's awesome. Where'd you get a live chicken?
She has chickens.
True.
True.
Okay, I get it. Awesome. So they woke up with a chicken in their tent. That's pretty sweet. All right. Oh, his pants caught on fire. That's awesome.
Same trip, I tried to feed a baby goose a piece of cookie while the mother and father were near.
Uh-oh. And you got dominated by the geese, didn't you?
No.
You ran screaming. It's probably what I would do, too. Mallory?
I was camping with my family one time near the springs down in Florida, near Key West. And it started raining, and we got locked out of our
geese. You did? All right. A similar story happened to me. We're in New Hampshire, all right? And so my mom and my sister and my dad and I were all up there, and we were going to go kayaking. But my mom doesn't kayak, and we have this German Shepherd that we took with us, or we did, 125 pounds, big old German Shepherd. And my sister, my dad, and I decided we're going to go kayaking. But it's about 20 miles away, so my mom has to load the dog up in the car, load all us up in the car, and bring us to drop us off at the river. And it's like I said, about 20 minutes away. She drops us off, and we get out, we get in our kayaks. It's actually a pretty awesome day for kayaking. But my mom had to go back to the camper, puts the dog back in the car. And as she's driving back, the dog was like not very happy, wasn't feeling good, and got car sick. And so he starts to like just doggy puke all over the car. So like dog, have you ever heard a dog puke? It's pretty sick, right? So the dog's puking all over her brand new Ford Explorer all the way back to the campsite. So when she gets back to the campsite, she takes the dog out of the car, closes the door, brings him over into the camper, and realizes, wait a minute, do I have my keys? So she's like, she opens the camper door, which still it's unlocked luckily, throws the dog in there, closes it back up, goes back to the car. Uh-oh, car door's locked. All right, so she goes back in to see if she has a spare key in the camper, and, oh wait, accidentally locked the camper door too. So now she's locked out of the car and the camper. The dog is in the camper puking. There's already puke in the car, but luckily for her, the windows were kind of down because she was like airing it out from the puke smell, but not very far, but just enough so she could get her hand in there. So she figures, all right, this is what I'm going to do. First, I'm going to try to get into the camper and see if I have a spare key. So she gets, you know, it was like one of those pop-ups, and how pop-ups have like the, like, you could kind of like stick stuff a little bit through the crack. So she gets this long like stick. And she goes in there and she sees where the spare is, and she's trying to like stick the stick into the camper and get the spare like this, and the dog starts to attack the stick. So he's like barking and attacking the thing. Dog goes nuts. So she's like, forget that, I can't get that. Runs back over to the car, tries to stick her hand in the car. At this point, the dog's going nuts. Everything's going on. All the like neighbors, you know, the other campers are like looking like, is that crazy woman like trying to break into the camper? So she's over to the car, sticking her hand in like this, trying to get the lock. And what happens when you shake a car too hard that has an alarm? Well, it goes off. So she freaks out, hears the alarm go off, arm gets stuck.
Oh.
She can't get her arm out of the window. So now the alarm's going off, the dog's barking, there's puke everywhere. She's locked out and she's stuck in the car just like this. She's like hanging there. Luckily, this dude came over from the next campsite checking on her, probably thought she was nuts. And he's like, can I help you? So he helps her like get out of the window or whatever. And eventually they do open the door. They get the dog out, they get back in the car, and she's able to go back and pick us up. So as she picks us up, I remember her pulling up. She had like the mom face on. Like, you know what I'm talking about? When mama's not happy, everybody knows it. It was the mom face, okay? She's pulling up with this like really unhappy face, and we're all like, uh-oh. Like, who's gonna like say hi first? Because, uh-oh, you know? So she pulls up, and my dad walks up to her. And my dad, you all right? Oh, I am. Oh, I'm fine. You know, like that, like, I'm fine. And like, you know mom's not fine, because she said it that way. Are you sure everything's all right? Oh, yeah, everything's all right. You're like, well, who's she going to kill first? You know, like, who's going to die? Should we be running right now? So, anyway, mom proceeds to tell us everything that happened to her. It obviously wasn't the best day in the world. Well, you know what dad's comment was back to mom? Well, you know, that's what memories are made out of. Okay, not the thing to say to mama bear when she ain't happy with her cubs, you know what I'm saying? So, it wasn't the best comment to make. I bet you all have stories like that. Stories where you could like say this certain time, like all these things just happen to go wrong. Doesn't it feel like when something goes wrong, not just one thing goes wrong, but like five things? You know what I'm talking about? They kind of come in groups of like weird stuff happening to you or whatever. Well, Peter's going to talk to us a little bit tonight. And if you get your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to finish chapter 4 tonight, verses 12 to 19. And he's talking to us about suffering and about trials and about when things happen in our lives. And I'm sure you all have stories about things that things just went wrong. It wasn't the best time of my life. And you could sit there and you could tell me all about these things that happened to you. And Peter's going to talk to us a little bit about when things do go wrong. When stuff happens in our lives that we're like, I just don't get it. I don't understand why this stuff is happening to me. And so look with me real quick. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're starting in verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial that you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it shouldn't be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of Christ? And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. So as Peter's talking to us here, he's going to hit a really tough subject. Because we made light of it before a little bit and just talked about like a funny story about things that happened to us. But honestly, if I were to go around the room and let each of you guys talk, I'm sure we could come up with some pretty heavy stuff that's going on in our lives. I'm sure that there's people in this room right now that are scared out of their mind about something in their life. Or people that could name something in their life that just says, man, I'm really actually suffering. This is a big deal. And we joke about it a lot because it's hard to talk about. But Peter tonight kind of wants to explode this subject to us and take it serious. So I hope you guys take this serious as we talk. I want you to just kind of picture your friends that might be going through something difficult. Or maybe picture that thing in your life that maybe Peter's speaking to directly in your life tonight. And just kind of see what God's truth has for you. So let's look at verse 12 right there. He starts off and he says, dear friends. And so we know that he closed the last section up that we were looking at before. And he's going to start some new stuff for us because he's starting a whole new thing. That means he's got a command for us. He's got a piece of advice that he really wants you to know. And here it is. Ready? He says, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering. And so his command to us is this. Hey, I know all y'all are going through some stuff right now. And you're claiming to be Christians and people around you are insulting you for it and they're persecuting you for it. And I know that it's a difficult time to be a Christian, but this is what I want you to do. I don't want you to be surprised that you're going through pain. I don't want you to be surprised at all that you have to suffer. What are you saying, Peter? Like, I should just expect to suffer? Like, I should just, like, expect these things to come and just deal with it? Well, look what he says. He says, that you may be overjoyed. I'm sorry. I skipped the verse here. No, I didn't. Yes, I did. As though something strange were happening to you. All right. Think of yourself in your own life, all right? And let's say that something really bad happens. Let's say you're driving down the road and somebody, I don't know, drops a brick off of a bridge and it hits your car and smashes your car all up. And now you get no insurance and you're like, Mom, Dad, what are we going to do? We have no car. We have nothing to drive to school. So now you got to walk to school. Every single day you got to go walking to school. And you live 5 miles away from school and you don't have any friends that'll take you. What's the first reaction that you would have in that situation? Yeah, like, woe is me. Like, I can't believe this happened to me. You know, like, think of something that actually happened to you right now in your head. Kind of picture it. Something that you would be like, man, I can't believe that happened to me. You may have even said that today or this week, where you're just thinking in your head, ah, how could this happen to me? That's so unfair. Maybe even some of you are living for your faith, and you're living for Jesus, and you're kind of sharing that faith in your school, and somebody even picked on you because you're a Christian, or because they heard you go to church, or they saw you carry your Bible, or pray before lunch, and they made fun of you for it. Or maybe you spoke up, and you were actually like, I do believe in Jesus, at your lunch table, and somebody was like, I can't believe that's so stupid. And maybe you were persecuted for that, I don't know. And Peter's saying, expect that to happen. I don't want you to be surprised when you have to suffer for Jesus. Because as a Christian, you should know that if the creator of the universe took the shape of a human being, came down here, they hated him, and he suffered, and they beat him and hung him on a cross and killed him, the God of all creation, what do you think they're going to want to do to his followers? And so if you follow this amazing God that they hated, shouldn't we also expect for them not to like us either? And to have to go through some stuff as well. And so he's saying, why is it a surprise to you? If Jesus himself had to suffer, his children are going to have to suffer some too. And some of y'all are like, whoa, I didn't sign up for that. Like, I didn't know that's what I was signing up for when I became a Christian. I'm sorry we didn't tell you beforehand, because this is the truth. I don't know what else to tell you. As you follow Jesus Christ, you need to expect and not be surprised when the world doesn't like the fact that you love Jesus. Because the world doesn't like it. And then he goes on. Listen to what he says in verse 13. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. So not only do I not want you to be all like surprised when you have to suffer for Jesus, Peter's saying, I want you to be happy. I want you to be overjoyed, like ecstatic, like jumping up and down and screaming. That's what this word means. That you're like, boom, I can't contain myself. I'm so happy I'm suffering right now. What? Is Peter nuts? Like, what is Peter thinking right now? He wants me to like jump up and down and scream and shout in joy because I'm suffering? That makes no sense. Now, he's not saying this. He's not saying that, maybe you know this Christian, okay? All the time they walk around and they're like, yeah, I couldn't go to that party because I'm a Christian. Or, yeah, this happened to me over here and Mom's sick this week. And how you doing today? Well, you know, not so great because, you know, like I'm suffering and I want everyone to know. Maybe, I don't know if you guys have seen this skit. Check out this video and see if this reminds you of anybody that you know, or maybe even yourself. Not Tim Tebow.
Good morning. Welcome to the Mickey's Breakfast Jamboree. My name is William, and I'll be serving you today. You guys here on a special occasion?
Well, we're here on that new Magical Gatherings family package. Got the whole Matusik clan down from Ohio. Right, guys? Say hi.
Hi!
Well, great. Let me tell you Mickey's specials today. We've got steak and eggs served with some home fries and Mickey waffles.
Woo! I love me some steak and eggs.
Ever since they found mad cow disease in the U.S., I'm not taking any chances. It can live in your body for years before it ravages your brain.
You're enjoying your day, everything's going your way. Then along comes Debbie Downer. Always here to tell you about a new disease, a car accident, or killer bees. We beg her to spare you, Debbie, please. But you can't stop Debbie Downer.
We did it, gang! We pulled it off! A family reunion at Disney! I don't know about you guys, but the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to ride that haunted elevator thingy. It drops you straight down.
This is my dream come true. I mean, I'm totally serious. Tigger hugged me at the door, and I thought I was going to cry.
I guess Roy isn't doing as well as they first thought. What?
Who's Roy?
Roy of Siegfried and Roy. He was attacked by his own tiger and suffered devastating injuries.
So, hey, who wants to go on Space Mountain with me?
Me!
I want to see the Country Bear Jamboree.
Ooh. I want to go to every country in Epcot and greet them in their own native language. Hola, konnichiwa, hi.
Did you guys hear about that train explosion in North Korea? Media is so sensitive there, so secretive. They may never know how many people perished.
You know any people like that?
Yes.
Yeah, you do. Maybe it's some of us like that are sitting here. Can you ever be like that? Do you ever feel sometimes like everything in the world is kind of mounting up on you and like everything's going wrong and so you can't help but just tell everybody and let them know just how miserable you are? And like, I can't believe this happened. I can't believe that happened. And it seems like everything you talk about is just all this miserable stuff because we lose sight of something really important. We lose sight that we are more blessed than anyone else on the face of this planet. That the blessing that you have, all these sufferings you go through can't even compare to it. And so Peter comes along and he says, rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. And it makes sense. It's not something you look at and go, how could you ever tell me that? Because what he's saying here is that no matter what you're going through, it can't even compare to the hope and the blessing that you have because you are promised eternal life. That things may happen to you here on this earth, on this big rock floating through space, and who cares in comparison to the fact that you have an eternity promised to you to be with the King of all creation. But we get so caught up in dumb little things, and sometimes even big hurtful things in life. But none of them, no matter how drastic your situation might be, no matter how broken your heart might be, none of it can compare to the fact that Jesus Christ, the God of all creation, chose you to die for, chose you to give his salvation to, and loves you more than anything in the entire universe. And so he says, even though you're going through all these difficult situations and your heart may truly be broken, he's saying, you're able to rejoice because you suffer for Christ. And then he says, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. And you know when this the reason why we're able to be joyous and have a smile on our face? He tells us at the end, when Christ's glory is revealed. Anyone have any idea what he's referring to when he says that? When will Christ's glory be revealed? Yeah, when Jesus comes back and we see him come back with all of his glory and the promise that he's given us has been fulfilled, that you don't have to suffer at all anymore. You know that when you go to heaven, there will be no more suffering. There will be no more pain. It says you won't cry anymore. There'll be no reason to cry. I mean, I feel like I would cry just like looking at God, just like the joy that I'd see of this amazing being, of the God of all creation. But he says there won't even be tears. Heaven is going to be the most amazing place because you will finally be put back in the very place that you were designed to be, in God's presence, worshiping Him, Him creating just things nonstop for all of eternity for you to enjoy. And God is so awesome and loves you so much, and we're so concerned with just here, this. We forget just how big He is and how awesome He is. And that should make you jump up and down and just shout for joy, because maybe our suffering here just reminds us of how awesome it's actually going to be when He comes back for us. And that should put a smile on your face, because you have a huge God that loves you so much. How can you contain that in your little heart? Huh? How can you not just jump up and scream like, "You are so awesome. Why do You love me that much?" And every time I suffer here, it just reminds me of how big You are. Then He says, verse 14, "If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed." What? "For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." And then He says this, "If you suffer, it shouldn't be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler." So what He's saying here is this. There are some people who suffer just because they deserve it. What are the consequences of sin? Destruction. If you sin, there will be physical consequences for you. If you do certain things and choose a certain lifestyle, you're going to suffer for that. That's how sin, what's what sin does. Sin is out to destroy you. Sin wants to see you fail. Sin wants to destroy your life. And every time you make certain choices, you're responsible for those choices. So some people are suffering because of the lives that they're living. And He's saying, you know what? Don't suffer for that. That's not worth suffering for. If you go through this, "Oh, now I'm stuck in jail for 99 years. Woe is me." Good, because you murdered the dude. You deserve to have jail. Right? There are certain things, amen. There are certain things that we bring on ourselves. He's saying that's not the type of suffering that you should be rejoicing in. Don't be overjoyed because you messed up and now you're suffering for it. That's a consequence of sin. And He says, but, look at the next part here. "However, if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name." You know, the name Christian didn't even like exist until just around this time period. Like, we think of the word Christian as this like sacred, holy word that we use for people who like are saved and going to heaven. That's how we use it. During their day, this word Christian was actually developed by the world, by just people that didn't believe in Christ. If you followed Herod, King Herod, then you were called a Herodian, because you followed after and believed what he did and you were loyal to him. So if you followed Christ, they called you a Christian because that's what you did. And it was almost negative, like, "Oh, those Christians. They follow that Jesus guy that we hung and killed." And so when they called you a Christian, they would probably point you out because you were persecuted for your faith. So to be called a Christian, a lot of people would do one of these. "Whoop, I don't know what you're talking about." And so this word was almost like a slanderous word, like being called a murderer. If I pointed you, you were like, "Murderer!" How would you feel? You'd, "Not me, look at me, I swear." You know? "Thief!" You'd be like, "I don't have anything, look at my pockets." You know? You don't want to be called any of those things. And so some of the Christians would actually respond if you were pointed at and said, "Christian!" Peter's saying, don't hide your face. Don't be ashamed because the world's calling you a Christian. He says that you should feel honored that you bear the name of Christ on you. That the world can see that you believe in Jesus. That's an honor. If they look at you and go, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" Instead of going, "Oh, no, not me. That's not me." You should be like, "You noticed. Awesome. That means I'm living for Him." That's the difference He's saying here. Your attitude should be like, "They noticed I'm a Christian. Yes, that means I'm living for You, God." Rather than, "I don't want to be a Christian, don't call me that, that's just as bad as calling me a murderer." Now think about this for a second. Because a lot of us still do this. A lot of us, if our friends figure out that you're a Christian, uh-oh. You're embarrassed, aren't you? A lot of us try to hide it from our friends. Because if our friends know I'm a Christian, they're going to make fun of me. And they're going to say stuff about me. And they're going to talk behind my back. And they're not going to want to hang out with me because they think I go to church and can't do the stuff they do. And I'm going to suffer because they're going to insult me. And they're going to do stuff and talk behind my back. Peter's saying, if they call you a Christian and notice this, this isn't something you should hide from. This isn't something you should be ashamed of. You should be proud that they called you a Christian. And notice that the Spirit of God, he says in verse 14, rests on you. that they can see the Holy Spirit living through you. Because the point of being a Christian is living like Christ so the world sees it and falls in love with God. And so if we're too busy hiding the fact that we're Christians because we're ashamed or embarrassed of it, then what's the point? Why would the Holy Spirit work so hard to make us look different? Remember this holiness thing we're talking about? As we holy, people notice. And some Christians go, oh, too much now. I don't want people to notice because now I'm taking too much heat for it. On a sports field, okay, if you're playing a sport, and you're facing this other team, and they're not that great, but they have one person on that team who's, like, awesome. Like, let's say they can score every single point. They carry the whole team, and the whole team depends on them. Which person are you going to go after the hardest? The one kid. Let's say it's football. That kid's going to get tackled so hard every single time he's got the ball. Why? Because you're hoping, I hope I break his leg this time, right? Like, take him out of the game. If he's not in the game, he can't play. You know what I'm saying? People do that. The best kid always gets picked on, always gets tackled the hardest, always gets beat up on because he's the best, and they notice it and they see it. And as you live for Christ, the stronger you live for Christ, the more you start to look like Christ, the more the world's going to notice it. And Peter's saying, you've got to be ready. Don't be surprised that they're going to notice this holiness that's coming about and this change that's happening in your life. They're going to see it, and as they see it, they might not like it. So expect them to say, what's going on with you? And don't hide from it and be ashamed, but wear the name of Christ like a badge of honor that says, yes, I'm living for my Jesus, and I'm not ashamed of it, and I want you to know. And you can say what you want, you can do what you want. I still love him. It's my greatest blessing and honor, and I'm overjoyed to tell you, yes, I live for him, and I do love him. That's what Peter's saying right here. Then he says, for it's time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who don't obey the gospel of God? And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Peter's taking a look here and saying, this name, Jesus, that sometimes we're ashamed of, don't you forget that everyone will be judged one day by God. And this very name, Jesus, that sometimes you're embarrassed of, is the very name that takes that punishment for you. It's the very name that takes all the judgment of God for you that we're being ashamed of. He saved your soul. He brought you back into a relationship with God. And we could be ashamed of that? Peter said, how could you be ashamed of the one who loves you more than anything in the entire world? He's saying, the people who don't have that name to claim, he says, their judgment is going to be more than you can ever imagine. But you don't have to face that because you bear this beautiful name of Jesus Christ who saved you and loves you and has changed you. So the world looks at you and goes, wow, why are you different? And maybe it's not like a wow, maybe it's a whoa, why are you different? Okay? I was, how many of you guys watched the Tebow versus Brady game? Right? Okay. Well, here's a little insight. I promised Hannah, this is my last Tebow illustration for a while, Hannah, okay? I promise you one more. Okay. I am a huge New England Patriots fan. Yes. Got my foam finger, number one fan. I really am. Okay. So, there you go. All right. So, I'm over at my house, I'm with my family, all hardcore Boston people, love the New England Patriots. My mom screams more than any of us. She jumps, go Brady, go Brady, go Tommy, whatever she yells. She loves Tom Brady. So anyway, we're all like watching the game, and inside my heart, secretly, I'm like, I really want the Broncos to win. I'm so impressed by Tim Tebow that I'm like, man, God is using this guy. He's got his hand all over him. He's done some awesome stuff through Tim Tebow. I want him to beat my team. Like, I felt like such a traitor, and I'm wearing my foam finger sitting there going, yay. But really inside my heart, I'm going, man, I wish Tebow would win, you know? And you know what I didn't want to happen? You said the same thing? All right, so you know how I feel. You know what I didn't want to happen? I didn't want my family to know that I was rooting for Tim Tebow. So every time, like, he would throw or and make a good pass or something, I'd be like, yeah, oops, shh. You know, like, I didn't say nothing. I had a cough, like, I hiccuped or something like that. Because I didn't want him to know. Why didn't I want him to know?
Because you're ashamed of God.
Because, yeah. I'm surrounded by people that like the New England Patriots and think I should be loyal to the New England Patriots because I always have been in the past. Similar situation here is Peter's talking to us. He's saying, you used to be a fan of the world. You used to walk around and you had the biggest foam finger on saying, yay, I love sin, I love the world, I love my life and me. And everybody around you was the same way. And as you lived like that, they expected you to be that way. Because you've always been that way. You've been a fan of the world. All of a sudden, Jesus Christ comes along and it makes a difference in your life and you accept Him and you're rooting for a whole nother team. But some of us are still really, really embarrassed to take the foam finger off and let people know, hey, I do love Christ. I'm not ashamed that you know it. Peter says, don't be surprised if they come up and they're like, how could you? You need to be ready. And He needs to be worth more than anything in the world to you so that you'll be ready. And then look at the last verse, verse 19. This is His advice for us. Ready? So then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Look what it says right there. Those who suffer according to what? According to God's will. Who can explain to me the best way you can, what do you think He's saying there? I'm going to suffer according to God's will? It does. It says God has a plan or purpose for your life. What's it saying about my suffering? Yeah, you are. It does say that. What? God plans for my suffering? That God's will is still completely intact even when I'm going through suffering? And some of you right now are going, whoa, God doesn't want anything bad to ever happen to me. God doesn't want me to suffer. I don't believe in a God that could ever do this to me. And what Peter's saying is this. God's control is so big that even when you're going through suffering, He's still in control. You don't have to look up to God and go, you lost it. Where were you on that one? You weren't seeing that coming, were you, God? And what Peter's saying is that God knows exactly the sufferings you're going to go through, and He allows it to happen because He has this beautiful plan and purpose for you. And here's the deal. When we go through things like this, the first thing we want to do is look up to Him and go, I can't believe you did this to me. How could you let me go through this? And we want to give up on Him. And we want to wonder, I don't even know if you're really there. Peter's reminding them that as they go through trials and difficult times in their life and they suffer, that God still has a plan for all of it. And that they can look at their faithful Creator and know that He will always be faithful. That He created them and designed them, why would He not be powerful enough to mold them through suffering? Why would He not be powerful enough to use these hard times in their life to give them some amazing testimonies to make them able to do some awesome stuff? We had lunch today. Matt and I went to lunch today with some people, and this one lady was telling us, she works, I guess she's the mom of a pastor, and she works in this church and she helps out this church in a really, really rough neighborhood. And her ministry is to drug dealers and prostitutes and murderers on the street. She'll actually find out where they hang out. And I'm talking an older lady, okay? This is like a full-grown pastor's mom. She goes to where they hang out and sell drugs and witnesses Jesus Christ to them. She shows up. She targets those people. Then you're like, whoa, how could she ever have the courage to do something like that? And if you knew about her past, it would make a little more sense. When she grew up, she got caught up in some really, really bad stuff. She ended up becoming a drug addict, a prostitute herself. She was stuck in all sorts of stuff. You know what God did? One day God grabbed her heart and saved her, and she accepted Jesus. And he took all those experiences and hard times and difficult things in her life so that now that woman has the courage and the bravery and the tools that she needs to be able to go and witness to people that most of us in this room could never imagine to be able to like go to or even be able to talk to or relate to or communicate to, but she's able to reach them. And she had to go through some hard times. But God used those amazing hard times in his perfect will to turn this lady into someone that he could use exactly how he had planned the whole way through. And so the next time we look up at God when we're going through a hard time, we're like, why me? He wants us to remember that he is our faithful creator and that we should continue to trust in him and be holy and follow after him because he will never, ever, ever let you down. Will you pray with me? God, I just want to thank you that you are always in control. God, you never forget about us. You never make mistakes. You don't miss things. You're so big and you love us. You're so big that you're so personal to us. And Lord, I know we don't deserve it. And I just thank you that you choose to love us anyway. And God, I just pray that you would help us have eyes to see your plan and to be faithful, to trust you through difficult times, to be proud of your name no matter what circumstances we go through. Because Jesus Christ is worth it. And we love you so much. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.